acceptable to our loving Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can sit down now. Okay, I'm going to ask Steve to come and speak in a second. In the first week of this year, twice we were implored by the Lord to write things down. When the Lord speaks to us and we have a word or a scripture or something, write it down so that we've got that record, so that we can look back and we can encourage ourselves, we can encourage one another. And to which aim, we've bought lots of these little books in various colours, and hopefully your life group leaders will have given you them. If you haven't had them, or you've missed, or you're away when that happened, please find your life group leader and say, can you let me have one of these books, please? Or see Karen, because I suspect there's plenty in the centre still. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, we've got the lovely little books. They've got a place to put the date and plenty of room for notes. And then the idea is that as you go back through the year, you can see that personal record, that walk with the Lord, that he's that path he's been taking you down. And it's there, quite clear. So that's that. The only other thing is just to say that we have Ian Andrews coming to speak to us as guest speaker on the 1st of March. And I think that's going to be a really good time, a blessed time for us as a church. So again, apply your faith. If you come into that meeting expecting nothing, I suspect you'll walk out with nothing. If you come in and you expect the Lord to work and you expect the Lord to speak to you, should be the same every meeting, mind, then I'm sure then the Lord will reward that faith. Anyway, Steve, over to you.
Okay. Doesn't work, we'll use that one. Oh, see, Angus was preaching last week. how are you? All right, good. Just a bit achy this morning. I did a gig Friday night, which went on for a long time. That's what the audience said. And for some reason, I got in very early Saturday morning. And then for some reason, I thought it'd be a good idea if I went to the gym. Yeah, part of my, you know, keep fit for 2026, which the most difficult part was actually getting up the stairs to the treadmill in the gym. So, seemed like a good idea, but I'm, you know, it's okay. So I started my my healthy eating on the 1st of January, 12:05, New Year's Day. And it finished at 2 p.m. in the castle on the 1st of January. So here we go. Right. Well, this is quite exciting this morning, I think, with things that we're sharing and things that we've got. I've been told I've got 20 minutes. Steve Huckett's fault. He's not here today, but he goes on a really long time. So we've decided to curb it now at 20 minutes. That's not really true. But 20 minutes I've got. But Angus did 25 last week. So I don't know if I only got 15, but we've got the clock at the back there, which I can't see. Very interesting, really, where we are and the words that have come this morning, particularly about release. It's very much a word that I've got this morning, which I had back in July, which was delayed. I'm going to bring it now. It's a bit different this morning, but I know that last week we were very much, we were at Timball's Yard, our life group meets at Timball's Yard. We had about 16 of us there. Was it okay? About 16? 16 of us were there last week, all around the table. And one thing I was sharing around, it's time for us to get moving in spiritual gifts. We really have to. I mean, how charismatic are we? You know? We say it, we've got to get moving in spiritual gifts. And some of us have been saved here for a long time. So, okay, who was saved in the 1960s? Don't Was anybody saved in the 1970s? Wow. Who was saved in the 1980s? Great. 1990s? 2000? 2010? Is anybody here not saved? This is your year. You know, some of us have been saved for a long time. And when you get saved, you get very enthusiastic and everything's moving. And when I got saved, it was a very exciting time. You know, we were in a very different church. I'd never really been to church. Well, I did when I was in the Cubs, but that was, scouts. And it was very, very boring. And it was something very, very different. And God was doing great things. And one of the people at the time of the 80s, I was saved in 1982, was a guy called Ian Andrews. And if any of you know Ian Andrews, great. I never met him. He came to our church before I came to the Lord. But he was very much into prophecy and healing, if any of you remember. He's in his 80s now. Really dynamic ministry. Really dynamic ministry. He is coming to us in a month's time. We're very privileged and blessed to have him come here. So I think it's a time of preparation for us for when Ian Andrews comes. And one thing that really came to me was, it's time to move in spiritual gifts, which it is, but it's a time to be open to receive those who are ministering in spiritual gifts have for you. So we need to be able to operate, but we need to be able to receive. That is the really important part. Because God wants to do many things for us within this church at this time. So you have to be open, and we have to be open to receive. That's really very, very important. And sometimes, you know, we have blockages in our lives, and we need those released. Anyone like coffee? Too much. Does anybody have coffee in cafetières? Every now and then, you know, you pour it into. How do you empty your cafetière coffee when it's all done?
Blocks your drains.
See, this is the point. You absolutely know by experience. Yes, it's true. We have cafetière coffee, probably about 3 litres every morning. And when we finish, we pour it down the drains, okay? Down the sink.
Yeah.
Okay, let me just say, I've got a septic tank, okay? So it's almost like body ministry. So it goes. So our sink blocked up. So I decided that I was going to unblock it. You know what's going to happen, don't you? You know what's going to happen. So I went under the sink and I started fiddling with that. And this almighty explosion happened. And Karen came out, and I looked like a sort of cappuccino gone wrong. I was plastered, wasn't I? Yeah. And then I couldn't get the pipe out. I couldn't get this shelf out, so I decided to drill the shelf out and drilled through the pipe. Anyway, the moral to this story is this.
Get a plumber.
Yeah. Get a plumber, yeah. Even better. Spiritually, we need the Holy Spirit, who is going to bring us revelation around areas that are stopping the flow of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That's really, really important, okay? So there are things in our lives which we need to deal with, which is stopping the flow of the Holy Spirit. And that's really important. There's many reasons why we have blockages like that. Some of it is things that we haven't dealt with. Some of it is pride. Some of it is spiritual. But God is the God of the release. And this is going to happen. I was born in 1982. We got married in 1984. Is that right? I was born again in 1982. Spiritually born again. I'm really pleased you're listening. It was last Saturday, and I was sat in the hotel garden, and I was just there sort of praying, and the Lord just started to speak to me and remind me things. Reminded me of how I got saved by the grace of God. Reminded me how Karen and I got called into ministry in 1984 at the age of 25 and went to Athens and started a church, which is pretty remarkable. You know, we had no risk assessments. It was at a time when people were being put in prison for preaching the gospel. And the week before we went, three people from YWAM were put into prison for 3.5 years for sharing the gospel. So we went and we went over to Greece and we did that, and we had great experience in ministry over there, seeing people saved. I can remember before we went to Greece, we were preaching on the streets here in Bradford-on-Avon with Angus. We had a team that used to go around and we used to preach on the streets. And we came back from Greece. We left the Greeks to it. I was in eldership for 10 years. We thought we were going to go back into ministry. I took a part-time job in care and support. That was 34 years ago, you know. We started a cafe church in Trowbridge, which was marvelous, in Costa Coffee. That was going for, we had about 40 people on a Sunday. And we saw, we had a youth group going. We hired a nightclub in Trowbridge, and we had 120 come into that on a Thursday. We had to have security for that one. And that was for just the Christians. And the Lord was just reminding me of the experiences that we have had over the years and what we have learned. And it's amazing. And what have you learned over the years that you have been born again? And there's some very interesting things here. So what I started to do is, as the Lord spoke to me, I started just to write things down. It was just little phrases of things that I've learned, you know, almost like words of wisdom and things that I've learned. And I'm just going to read through some of those. And the thing is, some of these may be a trigger for you, because it may just really hit home for you. And as a result of that, the Lord wants to set you free from those things, okay? He wants to set you free from those issues. So it may be a trigger. It may really relate to you. It may have nothing to do with you whatsoever. But it was just things that the Lord was sort of telling me, and I sort of wrote them down. And looking at some of the foundational truths, I mean, the thing that for me, which was really remarkable, is that I was saved by the grace of God. I couldn't do it myself. I was very into spiritual things before I was a Christian, very weird spiritual things. I knew the spiritual realm was real, but I knew that I couldn't be saved by my own good works. So we are saved by grace. We are not saved by works. For it's by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It's a gift from God, not by works that anyone can boast. If you keep trying to be good, you'll never be good enough. If you are thinking, I've got to be really, really good until I get up and give a prophecy, you'll never be good enough. If you think, I've got to be really perfect until I share with other people, you'll never be perfect enough. It's by God's grace that he has come and he has saved us. The other thing is conviction and revelation must come by the Holy Spirit. We can have all the lights, all the smoke, all the noise, all the atmosphere. If the Holy Spirit doesn't convict, things won't happen. And so when we're praying for people, we need to pray that the Holy Spirit comes and there's conviction that comes within them. Because conviction has to happen. I've seen many, many people make emotional decisions about the Lord and they never last. It's because the conviction of sin hasn't come in. God's love is unconditional. Amen? It's really hard to fully understand and grasp this, but God loves you. There's an unconditional love. If you were the only person, Jesus would have died for you. And maybe you're one that needs to really fully understand and accept the unconditional love that God has for you. God forgives and he forgets, but people tend not to. You need to realize that God forgives and he forgets. The crazy thing is, There's nothing you can tell God that he doesn't know already. That you can't keep things secret from him. He knows every single thing about you. And sometimes we have to accept the forgiveness that has been granted to us. That he's forgiven us. Sometimes people find that quite hard. So we need to forgive. When you choose to follow Christ, you find out who your friends are. I did. I was playing in a band at the time. Different band. And I didn't tell my friends what was happening. And they started to realize that I wasn't around on Sunday mornings for practices. I went around to my mother's, and my mother said, "You know where he goes?" So you find out who your friends are. When you're born again, you are born into a spiritual war. This is the truth. We are in a spiritual war. But the good news is that God has given us everything that we need. Everything that we need. Absolutely essential. If you want to be a disciple of Christ, you must be immersed in water if you're going to follow Christ. It's not an optional bolt-on extra. If you have never been baptized in water, and I mean immersed in water, not the old, sprinkly, full immersion in water, to be buried in Christ with baptism, a burial of your old self. Peter references Noah going into the ark and the old being cut off. Moses and the Israelites went through the water. The old life was cut off. If you have never been immersed in water, normally I tend to find there's often issues around repentance. You've really got to let go. If you've never been immersed in water, folks, this is for you. And that could be the key for your release. The road can be hard and stormy, but it will pass. We go through difficult times in our life, and you may be going through it now. But the Lord is always with you, and those times will pass. Those clouds will go. The spiritual realm is very, very real, and there's only two kingdoms. That's it, folks. You're born into the kingdom of darkness. That's why you've got to be born again. You have to be born again. There's only two kingdoms. Everything is spiritual. You don't stop being spiritual because you're not feeling good. God created us. We are created. We are spirit, we are spirit, soul, and body. People desire spiritual things. There is a real desire. People are seeking spiritual truth. They are. One of the things that, Karen and I did for many years, we went to Glastonbury Festival for 15 years, the church at Glastonbury. And we used to love going to the healing fields because it's so weird. But we had a little station there where we would pray for people and people would come. And it was so easy to talk. It was like being in Asia Minor in the first century. If you've ever read, there's a guy called Pausanias who was a Greek traveler in the second century. And he documents his travels. And you don't realize how spiritual the world was and religious the world was at the time of the Bible. Everybody was spiritual. They were worshiping something. Everything is spiritual. Even the atheists believe in nothing. Which means they believe in something. But people are spiritual. They are really seeking spiritual truth. But Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He is the truth. The peace of God is unlike anything else. It is, really. The peace of God. The greatest thing is to have peace in your life. Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." If you don't have real peace in your life, you really need to know the peace of God. And if that's something you're struggling with, then we want to pray for you at the end of the meeting. Okay? Good one. Jesus is not religious. I was reading John chapter 9 about the man who was born blind. Wow, that is really interesting.
interaction between the Pharisees and between people around Jesus. Jesus is not religious. People need to see Jesus as he really is. The trouble is 2,000 years of history has wrapped him up in some sort of religious bubble, which doesn't really represent how Jesus really is. Jesus is Jewish, by the way. He was Jewish, he is Jewish, and he will always be Jewish. People tend to forget that as well. He came into a very, very religious society where religion wanted to get rid of him. The Pharisees opposed. He opposed legalism and religious hypocrisy. Satan is a master of religion, was within religion bound, and that's where we need to be set free. This is a very interesting one, and this is one which I would say is probably so important. And we were prayed for before we went to Greece for the gift of discernment. And I tell you, that is such an important gift. The gift of discernment is essential words of knowledge. It talks about it in 1 Corinthians about distinguishing between spirits. We need the gift of discernment. You need the gift of discernment, particularly in the times that we're living in, because it's going to become more and more difficult to distinguish between what is real and what is not real. We are living in an AI world. I don't really know what's real and what's not real anymore, you know? I asked AI to, you know, could it come up with some Christian jokes for me? And it said, would you like me to do it in your tone, in your way? And I said, yes, and it came out and none of them were funny. But we are living in a world, when people ring me up, I don't know who it is anymore. You know, we are living in that world, but spiritually, this is going to have an impact on us. As we start to see a move of the Holy Spirit, Satan will start to move as well to try and deceive. And Jesus said this, didn't he? He said, you know, when you see someone in the desert saying, here I am, don't believe it. People will do miracles, signs and wonders. They will do all those things. We need discernment. And if you want discernment, at the end, we'll pray for you. We need words of knowledge. We need to move in these spiritual realm. This is an interesting one because I think it's an important one, is that you've got to understand is that Jesus was radical because he had women disciples. Do you know that? He had a whole group of women who followed him, who supported, who was very much involved in his team. Women were very, very important. If you read the end of Romans, is it Chloe? I can't remember which one it is. But it refers to, I think it's Chloe's house group. She's a minister of the gospel. She was one of the leaders of the church at Kenkreas. Kenkreas was one of the ports of Corinth. There was different churches around, and she took the letter to the Romans. She went and took it to the Romans and probably read it as well. So everybody is valued. Everybody is valued. Everybody can operate in ministry. Jesus valued everybody, but women had a particular ministry, so don't be discouraged. Okay, this is why if you keep doing the same things, you're going to keep getting the same results. It's very important that we are open to change. We always talk about change. We talk about the seasons changing. But I don't know what it is, but it happens with everybody. It tends to go back to how it was. You know, we try and change things. Churches try to change things. They, you know, change the chairs. When we were in Bethesda, we went to a Baptist church for 10 years. Okay, don't judge us, it's okay. We went to a Baptist church for 10 years, and we got to this point where, man, it was going to explode spiritually. I mean, good in a good way. There were things happening. There was people getting saved every week. We had Bob Hartman there, who writes Christian stories. He's a Christian storyteller. We had more musicians than we knew what to do with. It was great. did not want to change. We changed the chairs once, and it was like, wow, you know, half the church walked out. But we were just on the cusp of breaking through, and because there was a resistance to change in doing things differently, it didn't really happen. And that's what we've got to be aware of. You know, we've got to be open to change and open to what the Holy Spirit is doing. It's absolutely essential. I think the way we do things, we think it's the right way. But we've got to really get back to the pre-Constantine early church. If you look at the history of the church and how things changed when Constantine said he was a Christian and it came into the state, it changed very differently. They never had meetings like this with, you know, someone standing up. They would have a basilica. The basilica is where someone would stand at the front and they would give a speech, to the people of Rome or whatever. And they would have a window right at the top there. So the light would shine upon them. So it looks like they were, you know, like a deity, which they still do in some traditional churches, actually. They have a light so it comes down on you. So we do have to, be ready to change. Many churches do get stuck in past moves. That's why we've got so many denominations. You know, we do it at 10 o'clock because this happened. We sing this song because this happened. We are coming into this time of real change, of real challenge. We need to be open and we need to be ready. So we need to return to that. The Holy Spirit is much freer than you think. The Holy Spirit is much freer than you think. And it's the Holy Spirit that wants to set you free this morning. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, 2 Corinthians 3:17. So the Holy Spirit is much freer than you think. So be open to the Holy Spirit. He wants to do great things in your life. Angels are more active than you actually realize or understand. Okay, we don't get into angel worship. Read Hebrews chapter 1, tells you all about that. But angels are really active all the time. They are ministering spirits to those who are called, it says in Hebrews. Don't underestimate the activity of angels that God has and uses. I mean, Karen will tell you at some point, Karen had a real experience in the 1980s of an angel that came to help her, which is quite remarkable. And even her father, who didn't believe in anything, could not believe it. He was just astounded. So we need to be open to everything that God has for us. So Karen has a great testimony. Right, don't move outside your gifting. It will cause problems to you and to other people. It's important for you to know what your gifting is and to operate within that gifting. This is why I don't sing much. Because I know. So don't move outside your gifting. Move in your calling. When God calls you, if God is calling you and he's calling you to something, operate and move in it. It's really exciting. It will change your life and it will change other people's lives. And if you realize that some people's outcomes may be as a result of you moving in your calling. So move in your calling. It's incredible. You know, we were called to Greece. We saw incredible things happen. And some of those legacies and some of those things that are carrying on there, it's remarkable. If God calls you, step out in faith. Another important one is the greater the calling, the greater the opposition. You will find that. I was amazed at the opposition we had in Greece that came from evangelical Pentecostal churches. It was remarkable. I mean, the Orthodox Church, we did have a few problems, not too much. I mean, after we left, they were doing street evangelism. We did street evangelism all the time. And a whole van load of priests came when they were preaching on the streets and all jumped out the back, a bit like sort of Monty Python, and picked up a whole box of Bibles and chucked it in the sea. The funny thing was, though, the Bibles were actually stamped with the Orthodox approval on them. But that's that religious. But don't let that put you off, because we have the victory. So if God is calling you, move in that calling. When you're full of faith and vision, not everybody will share your passion. You might annoy people. I did. When you are very enthusiastic and you're moving with passion, you will get on some people's nerves. Don't be surprised. Not all Christians will be on your side. This is what I want to say, and I'm going to put this down because I think, you know, it's an important thing to say, and it's something that we discovered, is that spiritual abuse is real. And many people have been affected by it. And, you know, we have, and if you have, then we want to pray for you. Because there's a release in that. There's a release in that. You know, forgiveness is such a key. Forgiveness is the key to your freedom. If you do not forgive, it will be a major problem. In that pipe of flow of the Holy Spirit. Okay, I can forgive people, and I have forgiven people, but it doesn't mean I'm actually going to go around and have cups of tea with them and work with them again. But I have to be set free from that. And maybe that's you, and if that's you, then it's a release today. It's a release today, but it's one to know. When God moves, things happen really, really quickly. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. Learn from humble, experienced people. Learn from people who have been there. You know, some of the reasons that God takes us through situations in our life is that then we can become a help for other people. Because I'm going to tell you, not from a textbook, but I've been there. I've been there. I know how you feel. I know what it's like to be in that dark place where you feel there's no hope. But I can tell you that you can get out of there, and it does pass. So we go through experiences in our life at times that we don't particularly like, but it keeps us strong, and as Bill says, it keeps us in a place of faith. Faith is essential, and then we can help other people. Rejoice with those who do well and succeed, and be an encourager and impart confidence. As a culture, we tend to we don't like to celebrate other people's success that well. If people are doing well, go and tell them. If someone shared a word, go and say, that was for me. That was for me. When you stand up here and you're doing all this stuff and no one speaks to you afterwards, you think, man, that went down well, didn't it? Or you give a word, a dynamic word, and they go, oh, thank you very much, and everyone goes off. You don't realize, you know, it takes a lot to stand up and give a word, and because you're all going to be doing this soon, all of you are going to be doing this soon, seriously, you are all going to be doing this soon. Encouragement is so important. The first vision I ever had, I had in a prayer meeting at Richard and Barbara's house in Junction Road. Yeah, you know, I blurted this thing out. Quite scary. But people came up and encouraged me. When you encourage people, it will build their confidence. So, you know, do that. Be an encourager. And imparting confidence is so important. Now, we can pray for you. We can pray for you to have confidence. The truth is, as Christians, we face the same struggles as other people: divorce, depression, sickness. It's the same, folks. But we have a way out. You know, we have a solution in Jesus. And if that's you, don't let pride get in the way. Because pride is a big thing that stops us. If you are struggling in some of those areas or areas of your life, and it affects all of us, let's be real. Jesus wants to set you free. He wants you to be released and be real and be and support people. And we do mess up. The truth is, we do mess up, but God forgives us and we can go again. Not everybody reaches their potential, but don't lose heart if you feel you've missed your moment. God is the God of the second chance. So not all is lost. If you feel you've messed up and you've missed it, don't worry. God is there for you, and he has a purpose for you, and he will meet you, and you will have another chance. So not all is lost. Not all is lost. God's timing is not our timing, and it's really, really annoying. It is really, really annoying. I'm not very patient. Is that right, Karen? Yeah. I even the microwave takes too long for me nowadays. Yeah. So realize that maybe it's not the right time, but God has a perfect time for you. He will not give up on you. He will not give up on you. Okay, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so the important thing to know is that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And it says in Philippians 2:9, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus is the name above all names. It's by the name of Jesus, and only by the name of Jesus, that you are going to be released. Okay? Only by the name of Jesus. We're saved in the name of Jesus. We're baptized in the name of Jesus. It's by the name of Jesus. So if any of those things resonated with you this morning, or anything else that's come in the meeting this morning, or if God has brought you a little revelation. Now, you know, if God has met with you, and that's absolutely fine. But if you want prayer, then there's time for prayer at the end, okay? Well, some of us will be up here. We can pray for you. But it's a time, all I can say is, let's be honest, okay? Let's take off the mask. The Greek word for an actor is hypocrite. It is. Hippocrates. It's the mask that the Greek actors used to wear masks in all the theatre, and they were called hypocrites. Take the mask off. Let's be real, because God wants to meet with us, because he wants you to be released. Because what he's going to bring us into is so fantastic, we all have part of it as a body of Christ. Okay? If there isn't anything, don't make it up just because you don't want to be left out. You know, fine. But there's an opportunity for you this morning. But I just want to highlight that to you in some of those things. I haven't shared everything because I only had 20 minutes. I've done half an hour. So next week, next time, it's only going to be 10 minutes. So shall we just pray, and then I'll hand over back to Bill. Father, we thank you for your very presence here this morning. Lord, we thank you that Jesus is the name above all names. And we thank you, Lord, that you said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. That you are the way, the truth, and the life. So, Lord, we want to be a people who are open this morning. We want to be a people that meet with you, and we know that you are the one who brings the release into our lives. And that's where we want to be. We want to be honest, and we want to be open with you, Lord. So we commit ourselves to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Steve. So yeah, that was a benediction. Please share with one another, fellowship and coffee. But look, if something has really spoken to you this morning, I'm sure Steve, myself, Andy, Steve Huckett's not well this morning. That's why the Hucketts aren't here. So they're poorly. But please come up the front and we will pray with you. We really want to see that release, don't we? We really want to see things happen that the Lord has for us. So, as I say, Steve's prayed the benediction. benediction over us. Enjoy your coffee and fellowship one with another.